Germ Warfare is Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Germ Warfare at tntradio.live is my email address. Got an email here from Wayne. G'day, Germ. Sounds Australian. G'day, Germ. The past few years have proven that an expert is just a drip under pressure. I like that, and I agree. Thanks for the rest of your email, Wayne. I appreciate the kind words. Do email me, germwarfare@tntradio.live. Questions, feedback. I'm going to be chatting in a moment to James Walton again. I love chatting to James about all things prepping. I'm a big proponent of self-reliance, and it's a term I like to use, white pill, the white pill, white pilling, whatever, which is just a matrix concept in which you take responsibility for your actions. You know, you have information, you know what's happening around you. What do you do with that information? What are you doing with it? I live in South Africa. The president of this country said this week that rolling blackouts are here to stay and that they're essentially permanent in the short term. Of course, the phrase short term can mean anything, but because he is a politician who struggles to say anything truthful, short term in my mind means long term. In other words, rolling blackouts are here to stay. And what am I going to do with that information? Do I just moan and moan and moan? Or do I take action? Do I do something with that information? Do I try and get off the grid? That is what the white pill means. It means doing something. It means taking responsibility. And it's a blessing in disguise, because it means that you don't need to outsource, aspects of your life, aspects of your existence. I'm a big fan of this. I think outsourcing is a good thing sometimes, but sometimes it really isn't necessary. So I think it's time to chat to James. So let's do this. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare on TNT Radio.
Talking the talk.
I like the conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
James Walton, thank you for joining me yet again in the trenches.
How you doing, Germ? Good to be with you.
I am always good when I speak to you.
Dang. Thanks. Most people think it would be the opposite, right?
Well, you know why? It's because you're such an optimistic gentleman. You give me inspiration.
Well, I'm glad I can do that for you. That's kind of our mission here at the Prepper Broadcasting Networks. Get people focused and start creating their own solutions through self-reliance, so that this news doesn't hit them so hard in the gut.
Exactly. But you know what's interesting? It's that the grievance industry is very strong. People love grievances. And they love sharing it on WhatsApp and Telegram, and they just keep sharing more and more of it. And it's just constant pessimism, ultra cynicism, and negativity. And you and what you propose and represent is exactly the opposite. You're saying, okay, that stuff is there, it is real, not denying it, but now let's do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, that it, in a common sense world, Germ, that would just be the way things worked. It's probably the way things work at your network and the way things work at everybody else's job and in their life. But for some reason, when it comes to things like food, water, power, security, we've just been conditioned to say, oh, there's problems. Someone else will deal with it, though.
Yes. I mean, and the last time we spoke, I think it was about food, and I think you heard me then. I was saying that the president of South Africa has officially acknowledged that we are now into a phase of permanent rolling blackouts. And this is an average of, somewhere between 6 to 10 hours per day. So obviously I'm going to now chat to you a little bit about energy sources.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a very interesting concept, Germ. They're looking to, and this is, I think, the move all over the world. They're looking now in Germany to nationalize one of the largest gas producers there. I think that energy crisis is going to be used to nationalize energy production and management everywhere. And that's the quickest way in their crazy minds that they can take control of your power, your energy, your electricity, your gas, and then manage climate change for you. That's just my
Which, of course, is all nonsense. I mean, it's all propaganda anyway.
Totally. It's totally nonsense. And even worse than that, it's deadly. It will be deadly. No doubt about it.
Well, I mean, look what's happening now in the Baltic Sea. You've got the gas pipelines that have obviously been bombed.
Yeah, that's interesting too, right? I mean, you could see benefits from that on many different levels. That's a hard one to hammer down. Part of me reading about it was thinking, man, if I was Russia, I'm not getting money from them anyway. I could definitely make NATO look bad, and I could definitely make sure that Europe is cut off from even more energy by sabotaging my own pipeline. I'm not saying that's what happened, but when you look at it from a chess move perspective, you can almost find benefits from anybody to have done that. It's a tricky one.
But the point is that what you're saying is that this is now becoming more and more of a reality around the world, and it's stupid just to sit back and wait.
Definitely. It is your reality. The way you should look at it to your listeners is your energy is in control by people that have no concern about whether you're warm, comfy, hot, doesn't matter. They don't care, right? They have a far-reaching idea that they are going to push no matter what, you know? So you can take control, at least in some part, of electricity and energy and power through preparedness.
Yes, exactly right. And just so you know, our national electricity supplier, because we have only one in South Africa, and it's nationalized. Okay, so
there you can obviously
find other sources of electricity, but the main grid, you know, comes from a state-run monopoly. And on the 22nd of August, which was just a few weeks ago, they ran quietly something called Black Start. Have you heard of that?
Black Start? No.
It is when they simulate restarting the entire grid in the event of a complete collapse using a third. So that's pretty serious stuff if they're doing that.
Yeah. I would love to see the results of that.
I don't know what the results are.
Pretty bad,
I bet. It's been done quietly behind the scenes. But, I mean, so yes, the thing, right? So, obviously now energy and being supplied with energy is a pretty important thing. And you know what's so strange is that, you know, how old is electricity? Just a few hundred years old, you know? Are we able to live without electricity? I don't think so. I think we've reached a point now where it's now an integral part of our lives.
Well, you know, I guess it's all how you define live. You know, can we stay alive without it? Yeah, but our way of life's going to change. Dramatically is an understatement. In almost every way, our lives would change, you know, without electricity. I mean, everything is digitized, so you'd have to get back to paper, and you'd have to or be a lot of walking back. It'd be a collapse in and of itself. I mean, we've talked about that for a long time, you know, the whole EMP or CME scare. It's such a dramatic walk back in time. The biggest concern for me in a situation like that would be waste management catching up and medical catching up. You know, those two things would kill people so fast. It would be unbelievable. Just the trash and the human waste and the inability for us to get medications and handle the, you know, the deal with the medical problems, because the medical system is so dependent on electricity, that would be the biggest killer, undoubtedly.
Well, okay. So obviously then getting off the grid, aka decentralizing your sources of energy matter, where do we start? A generator?
Well, I don't know if that's where we have to necessarily start. I do love what you just said. And this is my kind of my concept around prepping right now, totally, which is a decentralized focus, you know, because if you're getting off the grid, then your life again is changing in ways you can't even fathom. You know, I know people who live off the grid. They don't live the life I live. They don't live the life probably that you live. It's a very different lifestyle, off grid living. Like, you're not going to take a 15-minute hot shower when you're living off the grid. You know what I mean? Those days are over. So you gotta, I really like the decentralized, I call it alternative everything. That's what we call it at PBN, but I like the decentralized focus on preparedness. As many different ways as you can do a thing. And I think right now, going into winter, probably the biggest step that anyone can take is to focus on warmth. You know what I mean? Now is the time to focus on warmth. And what I'm going to tell you is hilarious to me, German, because I don't know if you know this, but the worst thing we could do right now in terms of emissions is have everyone burn wood in their house. You know, it's about the worst thing you can do from a pollutant standpoint. So what I'm going to tell you is, and I already have my firewood for the winter, is you better have some kind of stove that burns wood. If I were in Europe, I would be everywhere for wood, right? I would have so much wood, it would be insane. You know what I mean? Or anywhere that's going to suffer this sort of a serious deficit in natural gas, and knowing that there are some serious winters to be had. So the first step for me is I need something that burns wood in the house. It's not going to kill my family, right? In other words, it will exhaust the smoke out of the building. Wood stove's probably your best option. Other reason I like the wood stove is because you have utility, right? So now I can burn fire in this, I burn wood rather in this wood stove to give off radiant heat to keep us warm, because they're way better than a fireplace. But on top of that, I can heat liquids, right? I can put the percolator on, make coffee, I can make tea, I can make hot water, other hot drinks, whatever. And those go a long way when it's cold. You know, when it gets down to winter, man, I'm drinking coffee all day. I just want that nice warm drink. I don't want to be drinking cold water. I'd be dehydrated and everything, but whatever. So step one, thanks to the mismanagement of energy, basically, largely in the United States. I mean, the United States has really screwed the entire world. Joe Biden's policy on natural gas has really screwed the entire world in this moment. We should be the hero swooping in to save Europe right now and to save anyone else with that kind, the kind of issues that they're going to face, right? Because we can produce so much, it's obscene. Mm. But because we've decided to manage polluting emissions from natural gas and you know, oil, and we've refined that process so incredibly, now we're going to have most of the world probably this year burning wood or coal, which is, I mean, it's exponential emissions compared to burning natural gas. Exponential. So the policy of kill natural gas and fossil fuels in general is going to actually increase the quote unquote issues with climate change. But who cares about all that? Yeah. You got to be warm, right? So get wood and get a way to produce heat with that wood is step number one right now.
Well, the thing, James, is you have to also get that climate change fear out of your head. I mean, that is a consequence of mass media and mass propaganda. I mean, people have been burning wood for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
You know, no doubt.
What comes first is your family.
For sure. For sure. It's just funny to me that we had a way to do this heating people thing way better, way more efficient, way cleaner. And they've decided to turn that into the bad thing. And now we're back to doing something that's less clean, less efficient, much more dangerous too, by the way. I guarantee you buildings are going to be burning down because you got a generation of people who are like, I don't even know how to start a fire. And they're going to be pouring lighter fluid into their fireplace and burn their whole building down. Oh, it's going to be magnificent to watch.
James, all in the name of saving the planet. Yes. Well, I have to save TNT for a moment, so I'm going to quickly go to an ad break, and I'll be back with you in a moment.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
It's going to be a lot of pressure on Washington, on the White House Democratic Party, to chart some kind of roadmap with this, not this open-ended thing. Biden did this interview with 60 Minutes and just left it open-ended. So we're gonna back the Ukrainians as long as it takes, is whispering to the guy in 60 Minutes with a kind of creepy Biden whisper. Long as it takes. We're going to give them more weapons. Lots of weapons. Anyway, this week's a game changer. There's no doubt about that. With the referendums in the Donbass regions and also in Kherson South and in Zaporizhia, which is sort of south central, the referendums are a game changer. And I think that you're seeing the panic because, you know, Western countries that fancy themselves as nation builders, Iraq, look at Iraq, they're running into this sort of double standard of hypocrisy, and they're really hitting a wall with this. They don't know how to respond to Russia. Russia's giving a master class in nation building.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided, rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $310 million to mainstream media.
We don't tell the story that Bill Gates wants you to know.
We tell the real story. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
James, I love the idea of a wood-fired stove in my kitchen. The problem is that it's a lot of work. I mean, you have to clean it every single day.
No doubt. Yeah, well, I mean, that's a concept, germ, that people have to get more comfortable with, and that is a lot of work. You know what I mean? We're moving into a time where it's going to be a lot of work or a lot of suffering. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it is. And then, you know, a lot of people don't talk about that when it comes to things like homesteading and preparedness. But yeah, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do all this stuff. You got to cut your video game time back and your YouTube time back and all that kind of stuff. You know, people got to understand that's where we're headed. So they might as well get their head into that box, you know.
But I mean, the truth of the matter is that fire is probably the most base form of energy. And so having fire in your kitchen is always a good idea.
Yeah, you should own fire. It's human. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's our thing. We discovered it, harnessed it, and so on. There shouldn't be a person walking around the world that's like, oh no, it's hot. You know what I mean? You should own it. You should be good at making it. You should be good at using it, cooking on it, the whole thing, heating yourself with it, because it's our thing. Like, we don't even know if anybody's discovered it anywhere else in the universe. It's our thing. It's probably largely the reason we evolved in the first place to where we're at. But yeah, I mean, it's not the only way, but I'll tell you what, sure. If you're starting from scratch, your relationship with wood and fire should be a focal point for you and how to bring that safely into your home, if it's possible. Now, there are people who are trapped in small confines, apartments, so on and so forth, where it doesn't matter how good you are at making fire, you can't bring one of them things into your house unless you get kind of crafty. And we could talk about that too, because these are desperate times. So You know, if I were living in an apartment right now, in a place where I knew it was going to be cold and I didn't have an option,
yeah,
I'd buy a camping wood stove. I'd buy me a camping wood stove. I would get maybe some Teflon tape or something like that, and I would build an exhaust that could go out my kitchen window, bedroom window, living room window, whatever the situation was. I'd probably buy a paver stone, a nice thick paver stone, sit that thing somewhere where I, you know, where I could manage it easily on top of the paver, run the exhaust out of the building, and just make sure it was all shored up and nice and tight so you weren't leaking smoke into the building. And that would be my sort of emergency heat supply in an apartment complex, if that was my only option, you know.
Another form of energy reliance actually is something I mentioned earlier. It's a generator.
Oh yeah, they're great. They're great. They're loud. They require, you know, the problem right now with the energy crisis, and now we have, you know, at this moment, the natural gas boiling into the Baltic is making that even worse. You know what I mean? So the biggest problem with your generator is the cost, right? And where is the cost going to go? So I would definitely recommend a tri-fuel generator, electric generator I'm talking about now, not a, or gas fuel generator, not a solar generator. Because the tri-fuels give you options, right? I don't know that every single thing is going to go up. Well, they are all going to go up. That's a guarantee. But you might be able to, you know, spend money. I don't know if you know, Jerm, but we're looking at like 750% increase in energy costs in Europe right now.
Wow.
It's insanity. So having a gas generator is cool. They're great. They're effective. But if your gas goes up that much, and it's going to keep going up, because right now, even though I'm pretty sure those two pipelines that are leaking were shut off anyway to Europe, still, it's a world supply thing, right? It's a supply demand thing, and the supply is leaking out into the sea. So it's going to affect the price even more. And it's going to be ugly. So if you can get gas, if you can get propane, if you can get kerosene, if you can get natural gas, some kind of fuel like that to fuel that generator, then yeah, get your hands on a generator, because they're going to power the most stuff for you. But even all that said, you're going to be limited to space heaters, because unless you have like a whole house generator, you're not going to be able to power a heat pump or a heat system. So maybe, like, I know smaller radiators are popular. They could probably be powered by a gas generator. What one thing that we employ though, Jerm, I don't know how accessible kerosene is, white kerosene, which is a very different beast than the kerosene of yore, right? Like the kerosene of the 90s. It's much cleaner, much safer. That we have a 20,000 BTU kerosene heater for emergencies. And that thing pumps out heat. It really does. It pumps out radiant heat. Now you need to crack a window, right? You got to be careful with the kerosene heat, particularly when you're sleeping. Because it can be a big problem if you bound it all up in the house, shut the house, insulate it, you know, and you don't give a chance for that kerosene fumes to get out of the home. But outside of that, man, if you can manage simply opening a window, which I think most people can, then kerosene heat can be that is funny, right? I don't know. Kerosene heat can be a serious solution for you. You know, that's a way to heat a room pretty simply.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now. I don't know how accessible kerosene is here. I think it probably is, but it's not something that I've considered. Is it expensive?
It usually hovers around a little bit higher than gas.
Slightly higher. Okay.
Yeah. So it's you know, it's going to be a fuel. That's why I'm saying step one is wooden. You know, we're back to. The progressives have progressed us back to wood and metal. You know what I mean? That's where we're at. So, it might cost more, but if you want to splurge or something, I don't know. We'll have kerosene and we'll have a kerosene heater for if the power goes out completely. That I can promise you. That's a prep that we invest in. We invest in gasoline and a gas generator to make sure that we can turn the heat back on, run space heaters, that kind of stuff to stay warm. But of course, we've got the wood fire also.
You know, there's that adage, you know, I don't know if you know it, but down here in South Africa, we joke, we say, you know, what we had before candles was electricity.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the route, right? That's the route we're headed. That's the rolling blackout route, isn't it? That's where we're all headed there, man. I mean, we're all headed there.
That's not so funny.
Concept.
I've got to go to news headlines, but before I go to news headlines, you know what's quite funny is that we use a term here in South Africa called load shedding. So I say rolling blackouts because everybody knows what that means. But I noticed for the first time 2 weeks ago that it's being used in Europe now, the term load shedding, because it doesn't sound as harsh as saying rolling blackouts.
It's blackout, yeah.
It's definitely a blackout. But listen, I'll be back with you in a moment. We have to quickly do news headlines.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. Russia has called for an immediate investigation after its Nord Stream gas pipelines were damaged in an apparent act of sabotage. Ukraine's vowed to jail its citizens who voted in Russian-backed referendums in the country's east and south, which saw four regions choose to break away from Ukraine and join Russia. And a groundbreaking new study by the Journal of American Medical Association has shown that breastfeeding mothers have been transferring the spike protein in mRNA COVID vaccines to their babies.
If you miss your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
James, so we are talking about decentralized sources of energy. And we were chatting a little bit about wood, which is a great one because it's multifaceted. You know, it warms up the house, it cooks, you know, and wood is quite accessible, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's if you listen to it, it is good advice, no doubt about it, but it's hilarious to listen to you.
Yes.
Describe the many benefits of using wood for fire in 2022. You know what I mean? Like we're supposed to be in flying cars by now, right? And they walked us back so far. You know, it's like, let's talk about God. No, yeah, I mean, but
back
that's
the,
where we're
back
at.
Back to the future.
You know? That's where we're at right now. If I had to start at base level, you know, fundamentals, I got to warn my family because the governments of the world are so screwed energy all over the place. Then we're back to wood. You know what I mean? We might as well carve some stone tools while we're out there gathering the wood.
So another good angle, as you mentioned, is a generator. And I think perhaps having multiple sources of energy are probably a good thing. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, right? So you mentioned you mentioned kerosene, generator. What about things like solar panels?
Yeah, solar's all right. You know, there's so many variables with solar. It's the most expensive solar generator you can buy is it's not going to solve your problems for heating yourself through the winter. You're not going to be able to run anything that can heat you all day long. At best, you're going to use the daytime if you have enough sun to charge some big battery, which that's what a solar generator is, right? It's a big battery with an inverter in it that takes the DC current that you get from your solar panels, turns it into AC so that you can power your stuff the way that you power it through the wall. But at best, if you're going to run, you know, space heaters and that kind of stuff all night, which is the priority, right? That's when it's no sun, it's coldest, then you're not going to be using the solar generator to heat you during the day. So you got to look at it that way. Because if you use the solar generator during the day, you're never going to get the battery charged. So then your battery's dead as soon as the sun goes down and you're suffering through the night, right? So at best, if you're looking to heat in a real serious winter, you're going to freeze during the day and hopefully for the bulk of the night, be able to run something that heats your home. So it's not something I would depend on for heating or cooling. Solar generators just aren't there. But what?
Yeah, but I mean, it's part of that repertoire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I'd throw it out there to take the load off of a gas generator or you know, the just the overall cost, you know, like I said, for the cost of power in general, the power bill is going to go up exponentially. So it'd be nice to say, all right, well, I'm charge my phones out there, laptop out there, maybe run lights in the house at night off that solar generator since it's renewable. It can definitely save you money that you can apply towards the exponentially rising price of power.
We have to throw in a disclaimer because the irony is that these things are not renewable. I mean, solar is extremely dirty energy.
Of course. All battery-powered anything is extreme. I mean, it's mining. You know, it's the contamination of groundwater. Mining is the contamination of precious groundwaters and dragging, you know, digging into the earth. You know, they always tell, like, we're drilling in and sucking the blood out of the earth with the gas industry and the petroleum. It's the same thing to make a battery. It's probably worse. You know, I saw some clip from a video said they need like 500,000 tons to make a EV battery or something like that, of material, raw material mined out of the earth to make one EV battery. And it's like, you know, what runs those machines? You think those machines that mine are run on battery? No, they're pumping. They're pumping diesel, baby. That's what you need to dig through the earth's crust, right? So, yeah, it's all a ruse, man. You know it is. I'll tell you one thing, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Yep, go on. No, go ahead.
I'll tell you one thing that blew my mind this morning. I was drinking coffee, watching the local news to see how this hurricane's going. And my local Virginia news is running a special report Thursday on houses catching on fire because of EVs and EVs catching on fire and the value of repairs. I can't wait. I'm going to watch it. I haven't watched the news in so long. I'm watching that. I couldn't believe it. I said, whoa, that's a good sign.
Elon knows this, though. I mean, let's be honest, all right? He knows that this is all a gimmick.
Yeah, he better. He's so smart, right? Everybody says he's so smart. I don't know him, but everybody says he is. He looks like he knows what he's doing. So
he's cashing in. That's what he's doing. He's cashing in on the trend. Of course.
But he's living in a tiny home, too, so I don't know how well he's cashing in.
But I mean, right? I mean, the idea that electric cars are somehow superior to internal combustion is hilarious. I mean, Henry Ford already saw electric cars around him at the time. And I mean, these cars are just, they haven't ever gone ahead of internal combustion.
Yeah, it's far superior. You know, there's a reason why the Rockefellers were who they were. You know what I mean? It all fire. Came back we're to oil,
back
to, man.
Coming back to fire. Yeah, and fire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it is the fuel. It's the fuel that catapulted us to where we are today. You can't just suck it out of the system and expect everything to stay the same, you know. And the worst part of it all is, you know, who will have the gas and the propane and the, you know, oil. It's not like it's all going to go away. The guys who have all the money and are at the top of the heap, they're not going to be using fire to heat their kitchen.
No. But there is something romantic about having fire in your kitchen, don't you think?
Oh, we have fire every year. I don't care if gas or you know, the electric bill is 2 cents a month. I'll still be burning wood because I love it. It's the best. There's no doubt about it. But it's a whole different ballgame when it's aesthetic, you know, at your will compared to survival, right? Now I have to wake up and get this fire started every single day. Like you said, clean the flue, clean the stove, all that stuff every single day. I'll tell you what's worth talking about, though, Jerm, and might be overlooked by some people is you know, what types of clothing and blankets and things like that that you have at your home, because they can make a very big difference when it comes to this sort of subsistence heat, right? You're like, we're heating the house just enough to, for it not to be dangerous because of the rising costs. If you have good wool clothes, you know, gloves and hats and quality insulated blankets can go a real long way. Also, you wrap yourself up in a blanket. I mean, it's horrible to even imagine that. We're not talking about the apocalypse. You know, I used to say this kind of stuff when I was talking about how to prepare for a winter in the apocalypse. And now we're talking about winter 2022, winter 2023. So, you know, it's kind of sad to sit here and list that stuff, but good clothes can make a difference. Layering clothes can make a big difference. And even if you're staying nice and warm at the house, but you want to cut that electricity bill because it's getting so crazy, you can bundle up, you can drink hot liquids. That can go a long way.
Another interesting source of decentralized energy actually are these, I'm getting all my words jumbled. Portable inverters. I've got one. So that I can do, for example, this TNT show when there's complete rolling blackouts. And it powers all the basic stuff.
And it's great because it's portable.
I can to charge it. And we can take it with us if we go camping. I mean, it's got enough power for all the basics, and you can, but the great thing is that it's an inverter, but it's a portable one. So it just adds to that repertoire.
Oh, sure. Well, you can buy here in the States buy inverters that run, that basically will turn your car engine into a generator. You know what I mean? It'll take the power that your alternator creates and you can plug into it and use it to power your home. Now, of course, again, you're back to the, I'm generating electricity, but I'm using gasoline to generate it. But it could be another option. Right. Say you go out I have endless tales about guys who have bought a generator, turned it on one time, thrown it in the shed or whatever, pulled it out when the lights went out and couldn't get it started. So that's important. You know what I mean? It might be important to talk about gas generator upkeep and maintenance because that happens. You know, that happens a lot.
But I mean, think about this. If you're talking about having a menu, you know, you're having a whole bunch of options in front of you. I mean, you've got a pretty rock solid home that's off the grid. If you've got maybe one or two solar panels, you've got a couple of portable inverters, you've got a generator, you've got wood. I mean, already you're on your way to success.
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, I like the way that you worded it by decentralized energy. Right, we're still plugged in. We can still take advantage of the wonders, and it is a wonder of the grid. Right, the magic of waking up, your house is warm, your water's hot, it's good living. But things get squirrely. Okay, we're fine with that too. You know what I mean? We're prepared to deal with that too.
I don't know how reliable wind is. I see these turbines all over the place. They're massive. They're an eyesore. And 60, 70% of the time, they're standing dead still.
That's great. That sounds like great planning. Where should we stick it? I don't know. Just put it right over there. You talk about the number one problem with wind power, right? That's the number one problem. Yeah. How many people live at a place where you wake up every day and you're like, man, it's another day with a great breeze for wind. Or for wind power, you know, that's the number one problem. Just because it's a good idea doesn't mean you can stick it in your backyard and generate power, you know?
You know how they always are telling us in the media that sea levels are rising, you know, it's bad and we're all going to drown by next Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know that they're completely trolling us when you see them building wind turbines in the ocean. Have you seen that?
Well, even better, you're seeing them build their houses right next to it, right? They build a $6 million mansion right next to the ocean that's supposed to rise in the next 5 minutes and flood the whole house, but we're going to invest $10 million in it. and live the good life while you serfs run to the middle of the country and you know, live in the Nebraska cornfields terrified. Yeah. That's the whole game. You know how it is. Freezing to death out there in Nebraska.
James, I quickly have to do my last ad break. I'll be back with you now.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Here's something I wrote back on June 1st. Sky-high gas prices, supply chain problems, the threat of people not being able to get out of a hurricane area due to the nature of the season, rapid inclose development within a couple of days of the coast are just a few of the many considerations, only one of them, the last one, having to do with the weather. The others have to do with the energy policy worthy of Chavez's best days. Hurricane forecasting has always been a high-pressure job, ironically, given they are low-pressured. But for the Biden administration energy policy, we have really upped the ante as far as these things. This is a disaster in the making, more so than what it would have been anyway, because the recovery is going to be slow. Hits near Fort Myers, comes back out over the water near Daytona Beach, with a second hit likely on the Georgia-South Carolina coast sometime late Friday or Saturday. And the things I listed for you there, written on June 1st, I fear are going to come true. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, reminding you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Interview conducted at 10:15. Present are Sergeant Jones, PC Clough, Mr. Wall, an uninsulated cavity wall, and his solicitor, Mr. Bent. Do you understand the charges?
I shall be speaking for Mr. Wall on account of him being a pile of bricks.
Right, you're accused of wasting energy, Mr. Wall, and we've got concrete evidence. We know that unfilled cavity walls are responsible for up to a third of all home energy wastage.
We also believe you're involved in a fencing operation.
We're going to throw the book at you.
Okay. Mr. Wall would like to say, ouch.
It's criminal to waste energy. To find out how to save up to 25% off your heating bills, visit saveenergy.co.uk or call 0845 727 7200.
The climate change lunatics in government and at the WEF will make meat, cheese, milk, and chocolate heavily taxed luxury items to save the planet. Just like private jets, the rich will indulge in whatever they want, while the poor are left with nothing. Remind me how the French Revolution ended again, when the poor had nothing?
Lighting the fuse for freedom.
TNT Radio.
But you know, James, actually, we are quick to laugh off wind. But, I mean, farmers have been using those little wind turbines for years just to pump water on their farms.
Yeah, they use them to grind grain as well, for sure.
Mm.
It's a big difference, though, when you're talking about powering, you know, massive amounts of homes, which is what they're designed to do, you know?
Yeah, the amount of wind turbines you need to power just a small town is insane.
Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, what do you, you know, it's all madness, man. If they were looking to do what we're looking to do, which is decentralize our means of powering and meeting our power needs, sure. As we've always been for it, we'd be for it. Nobody, when they have cheap gas and cheap oil, is saying, stop building all those solar panels and stop building all that wind. Only when they say, well, we're only going to do solar and wind and we're going to raise the price of gas, do people start to get crazy, you know?
What are your thoughts on hydroelectric power? I mean, if you live near a river, you've got a constant current.
Well, the whole of Las Vegas, Nevada is powered by a hydroelectric dam, you know, that comes off of Lake Mead, I'm pretty sure. So it works. There's no doubt it works, you know, if you have the infrastructure to do it. The problem, I guess, is, well, number one, you're asking a guy who doesn't know enough about it, really. And number two, you know, you're going to deal with government, EPA, all that kind of stuff here in the States if you decide to throw some kind of turbine into the river next to your house or down the street from your house and run a power line to your home. You know what I mean?
Mm.
They're going to tell you that you're going to, you know, affect the migration of fishes and you're going to, God only knows what else, right?
But that is something that's always fascinated me If you live on the coast, you know, and you see the strength of the ocean, and it's just endless amounts of currents, just endless day after day after day. It fascinates me how they haven't quite figured this particular story out. And I think it's to do with water and salt damaging the moving parts. But
I'm sure, yeah.
It seems like such a good idea to use the strength of the ocean.
Well, look, the government's got its hands in renewables. So one thing you can be sure is we're never going to get the best. You know what I mean? We're never going to get the very best version unless it's one of these private companies that figures it out. Because the moment they get their hands involved, regulation, so on and so forth, the free market has to be allowed to work its magic and be competitive in the space so that this guy gets better, that guy gets even better, that one gets even better than him, you know, and that's how you wind up with the one that you can throw in the ocean and power a house with it or several houses with it, right? And it will last and it will be durable. That's just how that whole capitalism thing works. You know, there has to be competition and there can't be government hands and fingerprints all over everything, or it never reaches its highest level, you know?
If we were now to horseshoe back to the various decentralized items of sourcing energy in our home, I think we could successfully get off the grid if one was committed enough. But okay, so I just want to quickly recap some of the things that we've mentioned, which sound pretty good to me if you consider not having all your eggs in one basket. So you've got wood, which is always funny. You've got gas. You've got gas. You have perhaps a generator, a couple solar panels. You could have one or two portable inverters. What else? Kerosene, I think you mentioned. I mean, this is a fairly good list of things.
Well, there are heaters that run on kerosene, and there are heaters that are run on propane. You know, so those are options. The small solar array, that's an option. We talked about not just, you know, what you're using to generate heat, but how you're also managing your own body heat. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
How you sleep, where you sleep, all that stuff will also affect your energy use and how warm you can stay. No point in taking the whole family and having them sleep in separate rooms in the house. If you're living through an energy crisis and people are worried about freezing to death, you should all be in the same bed. You're all generators of heat, you know, so you might as well get in the same room, at least same bed, pile the dogs in there with you and use that too as a tool, you know, capture all that heat with good blankets, good down blankets, wool blankets, those kinds of things. I mean, it's a terrible conversation.
Here's something that sounds counterintuitive, but I've tested it, at least. So this is my completely unscientific and somewhat anecdotal hypothesis, James. But obviously this is all based on who is in the bed with you. But if it's just, say, you and your wife, your instinct is to put on a lot of clothes, but your body heat doesn't work as efficiently with each other. If you sleep naked with your partner, you're actually doing yourself a service, ironically, because your body heat is now transferring across to the other person and it's not being blocked by material. I've tested this. We went to a very, very cold getaway, and obviously we had duvets and whatever, but we were not cold at all because we were cuddling and our body heat was working with each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've never tried it. I mean, I've got kids, so it wouldn't work out. You know what I mean? I mean, I've definitely slept naked with my wife for sure, but never managing temperature, right?
No, but if you ever are in an environment where it's just you and your wife, you can actually test it. I'm telling you now. I mean, I get cold. If I've got full clothing on, I get cold. And then you intuitively think, okay, I've got to snuggle with my wife. All you got to do is just remove that clothing and then snuggle, and you'll find how much warmer you get.
Yeah, I just wouldn't get any sleep. That's the problem. I'd be warm.
Well, this is a conversation for a different day, James.
yeah, definitely. Different show for sure.
That one, we'll do that one during a slot. That's when all the kids have gone to bed.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point.
If you could give some advice about energy in a practical, sort of cost-effective way, what would you say right off the bat?
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to echo what the government is saying, and it's just that's where we're at. It's a little bit about conservation. You know, you're going to want to play to that conservation thing because that's less money. And this is what's the worst thing about this, Jerm, is this is what they want. You know what I mean? They have many of you out there cornered because you don't have these things in place yet. So you're in a boat where conservation is one of the biggest steps you can take right now without any investment, right? You got no money, can't do anything else. What can I do? Conserving energy. You know, I guarantee you there's something, I know for a fact, there's several things in my home that are wasting energy right now that are driving the cost up of my energy price. And, you know, I think availability is going to be one struggle, but cost in general is going to be another struggle for people through this winter. So managing that, conserving that energy, that's definitely a consideration. Managing your thermostat before the government starts managing your thermostat. Yeah.
Through smart meters.
Conservation's a big one. And stay yeah, busy during the day.
Yeah.
You know, keep yourself busy during the day. Go to public places during the day that do have heat that you don't have to pay for. Unfortunately, you know, I'll tell you one place I would go if I was hurting like this would be to the library, because the library likely is, you know, I don't know how it works over there, but they're state run and owned. And I got a feeling that those state run and owned locations are going to be just fine with heat. You know what I mean? So I'd go to the library, warm up there, or go to a store, go to a mall, whatever the situation is, and take advantage of somebody else's heat during the day, and then come back home and then gradually heat up the home for the long winter's night.
And while you're in the library, I would recommend reading a book called The Way of Men by Jack Donovan.
Oh, man. The Way of the Superior Man, right?
No, not that one. It's just called The Way of Men.
The Way of Men. I don't think I know that one.
It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. My book arrived this week. Author's name is Jack Donovan, and it's just basically like a historical overview of men and masculinity. I think you'd enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll read the ebook for definitely.
Yeah. Well, unless of course you stuck in a library looking for warmth, then you go and find the book there.
Yeah, cozy up in some building that's going to warm you during the day, take your family, all that kind of stuff. It's survival mode, man. I've been saying it for about a year and a half, Jerm. We are in SHTF. This is it. You know, it is an SHTF situation now across the world. And, you know, you're at the precipice of nuclear war between nations. There's no food. There's no fuel. What else do you need, right? There's chaos in the streets. Because there is. I mean, big cities here in America, it's total chaos.
There is a solution, and that is your website. So let's promo that quickly.
Sure. Yeah. Our tagline is self-reliance and independence. I'm the owner of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. PrepperBroadcasting.com is the website. And we're not out there to deliver the doom and gloom. The news has got that handled. We do a little bit of it, but what we do more than that is teach you how to decentralize your survival. I'm going to steal your word. Yes. I like it. You can decentralize your survival, right? Through self-reliance and independence. So check us out.
James Walton, it is always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
And I want to say, please do check out the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Some really great tips. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. It is the white pill. It is self-reliance. It's about taking responsibility. It is about outsourcing less of your life and taking ownership of more of it. Thank you, Luke, for keeping me sounding somewhat professional, keeping the show going. I will catch you next time. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas on TNT Radio.